Here's the story of an organization with a mission of providing uncompromising personalized service to its customers. How do they do it? Through mission statements, which have become more than nice-sounding words on a wall.
Now let me give some illustrations. My world, essentially, is my family and hotels. Seriously, I spend as little time in the office as possible. I'd rather just write and teach, but I travel a lot. So I have constant experience with hotels. Now listen carefully what I'm going to say now. I'm going to focus on customer service, but that is only one principle. We could take any number of principles and apply the same reasoning process. I will also give illustrations by way of practices. And a lot of them work, but I'm not teaching the practices. I'm teaching the principle and illustrating through a practice. You may be in a situation where those practices are totally inapplicable. That's great. You're thinking now. You're understanding what the principle is, and then you develop your own ingenuity to analyze the situation and to apply that principle with a practice that is appropriate. I wanted to make that up front so that you don't make principles out of practices. Even this morning, I called up for an early morning breakfast. And the tone was very officious and abrupt. And I said, "How long would it take you to get some orange juice and honeydew melon up here?" 20 minutes. Well, that's the standard answer, see? And I was in the swimming pool, really, and I got out of the swimming pool to pick up the phone right there to make that call. And the person said, 20 minutes. And I said, okay. And then I looked at the clock. And I could see I was running late. So as soon as I got up the room, I called and I said, "I just called downstairs and I am really needing to be somewhere in just a few minutes. Could you get that up? Well, let me talk to somebody." And they worked it out. They brought it up instantly. Now there, they adapted, see. They adapted to the need. And sometimes it's difficult to do that. But they adapted to the need. The principle was to serve the customer. One time I went to cash a check, and I only had one check left. And if I remember right, I needed like $200. And I said, "Well, could you cash this check?" "Well, we're sorry. Our rule is $50 maximum." I said, "Well, it's the only check I have, and I need more money." "Well, that's the rule." Now, always the key question to ask is, if you want a real secret, what is the underlying concern? Really, it is. In other words, what produced the rule? See, what's the principle involved? And, well, I don't know. What do you mean, underlying concern? Well, the reason behind the rule. Is it that you don't have enough money? No. No, we have enough money. Is it you're not sure about my credit? Oh, no, we know you, Mr. Covey. It's not that at all. You're one of our good guests. It's a rule. It's a policy. I said, "Well, you know, I have a policy too. It's called reasonableness." "Would you be willing to reason together?" "Oh, honestly, I'd get in trouble if I were to do that." "Hey, well, I don't want to put you in trouble, see." How many have frequent experiences like that? See, it's a constant experience. I was in another hotel, and as much as I can, I take my family with me, and I had my family, and we had just a short time, and we scheduled things so that we could play in the swimming pool and sit in the jacuzzi, and they were cleaning the jacuzzi, and it was in the middle of the day, and I had presentations in the morning, in the afternoon, my chance to be with the family, see, and they were really looking forward to it, and they're cleaning it in the middle of the day. So I said, "We can't use the jacuzzi." "No, we're cleaning it now." I said, "Why wouldn't you clean it at night? We don't work at night." You know, why wouldn't you clean it then real early or real late? Well, our hours are only from here to here. So I said, could I talk to your manager? So I visited with the manager and I said, does your PR of this hotel talk about the importance of customers and guests? Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you my experience, and I related it. He said, I know, we got a bunch of dumb policies, don't we? He said, we don't do that in the food and beverage area. We really are customer-focused, but out here in the hotel part, this is just run by bureaucrats. I said, well, aren't you the manager of both parts? He said, yeah, I said, but we just have a lot of policies that are followed through. And you see, if we had to hire someone at night, it would increase the costs here. I said, but, you know, yeah, I could reason with him. He said, oh, I agree. In fact, I said, why don't you come to my afternoon seminar? And he did. I don't know what happened, see? He was really intrigued. We got a good relationship going, and I think it was because he was so authentic. He was so willing. He didn't defend. He said, yeah, isn't that dumb? But here was the guy in charge, nothing I can do. You know, it's been handed to me. I mean, what do? You can't rock the boat. I went to another hotel. It was past midnight. Now notice the compasses. Just notice. Past midnight, I check in. And I said, I didn't like the airline food that much. Do you have room service this late? They said, well, we're sorry, Mr. Covey, we don't. Closed at 11. But our only purpose is to serve you. The compassy, true north. They got the principal. And I'd be more than happy to go to the kitchen and bring you something. But I, part of the old traditional service paradigm, instead of saying, okay, you know, letting them really fulfill their purpose, I don't want you to go to that trouble, see? And then this woman said, that is our only purpose. That's why we're here. I was impressed. The next morning, I came out of my room, someone greeted me, calling me by name. You know, I didn't have my name tag. Found out later there was a system that gave that information to people that worked on different parts of the hotel. And they made an effort to personalize all their service. I went downstairs and I saw someone on a tall ladder in a side lobby washing windows. A worker. He's looking outside. In the garden, he sees an older woman having difficulty with a walker in the gravel part of the garden. Just a little difficulty. She hadn't fallen. There were other people out there. There was no emergency at all. Anyone respond to emergency, see? But he just sensed an opportunity to serve. Here's this worker washing windows. How do you get that compass into everybody in Cytoculture? He climbs down the ladder. He goes outside, helps her get comfortably situated in the lobby, goes back up and washes windows. Where did he get this general principle that guests are my responsibility? I thought it was to clean, to wash windows, see? I was teaching. I didn't have all the colored markers I wanted. I was teaching a large group of shopping center managers. And in the morning break, I ran out in the hallway, grabbed some bellboy going to another convention, totally unrelated to the one I was speaking at, and I said to him, could you help me for a moment, please? He just whipped around, noticed my name tag, and said, Mr. Covey, I will solve your problem. Now that's something, isn't it? I mean, instead of, you know, well, I don't know, I'm just going down here, or go talk to these people, or it's not my business, see. He had a compass. And it seemed to be second nature. It just immediately responds. I was blown away from that. In fact, when I went back into the room, I just said, I got to tell you what just happened to me. And they started relating, yes, that's the way this hotel treats Saul. And the guy that invited me said, let me tell you the amount of service that they give and what they do, see. I went into one of the back rooms. I walked through the kitchen, and I saw the motto on the wall, uncompromising personalized service. So I started interviewing people. I noticed that the rooms had teams, self-managing teams. I interviewed the housekeepers. I interviewed supervisors. I interviewed waitresses. I interviewed anyone I had a chance. Someone came up to me, I was looking at smart objects, and said, would you like to see a book that describes the art objects in this room? I noticed you seem to be interested. Would you like to see a book? I said, could I talk to you? I interviewed. I said, how, now watch the systems. Watch the systems. I want to see how they got a compass, principles into people. How were you recruited? How were you trained? How were you oriented? Do you have a career path? What's the nature of it? How are you compensated? How do they solve problems? When there's differences in problems, how do they deal with that? Now, I believed the policy line she gave me because it was so congruent with my experience. It was not PR talk. Not against public relations, I'm just saying that the cosmetic side of it sometimes may have nothing to do with the substance of what the organization's about at all. Well, I was so impressed with this whole experience. This went on for 2 days. I went into the manager at the end and I said, wow, I mean, you have some hotel here. You've got this culture so around your motto that it just, everyone feels it. I've been working with 175 shopmen and they are blown away. He said, yeah, our financial goal, I asked him what it was, he said, is that 80% of the people when they check out, check in for another date. We don't want more than that because we want to keep new people coming. And he says it happens. My room is very expensive. Many people have their spouses there, expensive rooms. And that group I was with was there for about 4.5 days. You know, probably 200,000, I don't know what. I didn't figure that out, but spent there. Then they sign up for the next year because they have been treated like that. She's telling us a lot about really what people want, doesn't it? When you think they want this and this, how they just absolutely respond to someone that attends to them and kind of gives them this TLC, tender, loving care. Well, I said, well, what do you find to be the real key to this thing? He brings out the mission statement. He says, that's it. I look at the mission statement. It's an excellent mission statement. I always ask, does it deal with all four needs? The four needs are the economic, the social, the psychological, and the spiritual. The economic, in other words, can people survive? Can they prosper? And are economic rewards shared fairly and so forth? The social, how are people treated? Psychological, how are people used? How are they developed, see? And the spiritual is what kind of contribution or service that benefits society, that serves real, legitimate human needs? And does the organization have integrity? Does it attempt to walk its talk? And I looked at that and I said, that is impressive. Does this deal with all stakeholders? Or is it focused only upon, say, customers? Or only upon making money for owners? Or only upon employees? Or maybe only those three and then not suppliers? Well, that mission statement was very comprehensive. It dealt with all four needs of all stakeholders. So I immediately commended him. I said, that is impressive. Just about two paragraphs long. Now, their motto was uncompromising personalized service. That's easy, it's simple, it embodies, see, so much. But this mission statement was very comprehensive, very well written. But I've seen many such mission statements over the years. Many of them are on walls and placards, and many of them are used for PR purposes. They're just a bunch of platitudes that don't really carry all that meaning. And most people just kind of ignore it. Sometimes they even kind of ridicule them because there's so much hypocrisy inside the organization that obviously is some cosmetic PR statement. That's not what we are at all or what we're even trying to be, see? And they know it. And cynicism is thick. So I asked the key question, how was this mission statement developed? Because the process of developing a mission statement is really as important as the content, as the substance. Everybody must buy into it. And you get no commitment without involvement. You get no buy-in unless people are in some way involved. Or if they're not involved, they're socialized into it by the culture, by the norms. See? They see it happening. And they're trained into it. And they're given reasons. And it's shown to them before they come to say, this is what we are about. These are the principles we operate on. Are you prepared? Think about it. Take time. We like you. We're impressed with you. Think about it. Discuss it with your family, with your associates. See if you are prepared before you come on board to live by this. This is the Constitution. This is the supreme law of the land. This governs everything, everybody. See? It even governs the style of the top people. Everything else is subordinated to it. This is not just a mission statement. It is a Constitution. You teach them, see? But that has to come often out of a constitutional convention, sometimes out of small revolutionary wars that precede constitutional conventions so that people can thrash it out. So I asked him, how was this developed? He said, well, I did have some part in this one, but do you want to see the mission statement for this property? I said, you have a different mission statement than the corporate one? He said, yeah. It's in harmony with this, but these people developed it. What people? Everybody. You actually involved housekeepers, waitresses, secretaries writing that? He said, that is the heart of it. If they're not involved, they don't buy into it. I said, what about the people at the front desk? Let me tell you how I was greeted. I mean, it just kind of blew me away to see how purpose-driven that person was. He said, everyone's treated that way. Do you want to see their mission statement? I said, they have a mission statement in the front desk? He said, you want to see it? He brings it out. I said, I guess that was developed by all the people that work there. Everybody developed that one. If they didn't, then they get trained in it, see, so that they buy into it. They understand the reason. They self-select themselves out if they're not prepared when they get the job. Every level, every department had a mission statement. Many of those departments' mission statements dealt with internal customers, internal guests. That was a profound experience, and I went away with my head reeling, particularly after these other kinds of contrasting experiences. And particularly with many organizations that proclaim this customer focus, which is the big thing today, you know, but just simply don't practice it. Not that they don't want to, and not that some individuals may not, see, but that the whole thing, the whole culture, the climate, the norms, the mores of the whole thing do not focus upon it, but rather on protection, defense. How to get that compass? A few months after that experience at that hotel, I was invited to speak at a YPO conference, Young Presidents Organization conference, at another hotel of the same chain. This was in another city, also in the South. And I was excited by this because in my mind I had somewhat written off this earlier hotel experience because it was a new hotel. You know, when people can just start new, a lot of things are exciting and they work right sometimes. Once after they get the bugs worked out, the culture is excited and so forth. So I was excited and I went to this new hotel, and as soon as I checked in, Sandra was with me, I said, do you have a mission statement? And they brought it out. I looked at it and it was the same one that I'd seen before, the corporate one. I said, very fine, thank you. Do you happen to have a mission statement for this hotel? And they brought that out. Later, now I wish I'd asked for the one for the front desk. But I didn't and went upstairs to the room, ordered room service about 10 o'clock. And they said, it'll be there at 10:30, would that be all right? I said, that's fine. And I was really sensitive, like social radar out constantly. And it arrived 10:42. And that surprised me a little. And I thought, well, maybe there is a difference here, see. Maybe that's attributable to the style of that guy. So as soon as the room service arrived, the gentleman who delivered it said, "I'm sorry for being so late. I apologize." He said, "I spilled the hot chocolate in the elevator. So we went back to the kitchen to replace the linen in the hot chocolate. I apologize. I hope it has not been too inconveniencing." "No, that's fine." I was very impressed with that. Next morning, what really impressed me was the manager of the room service department called me on the phone. Said, "We are so apologetic about the late delivery of our room service last night. We would like to invite you and your wife to have a complimentary buffet breakfast on us, or if you want, we'll bring it to your room." And he introduced himself. This is the manager of the room service. Gave his name and apologized and then did that. Now, that told me much more about that culture than just being customer focused. What did it tell? They had a system. What does it tell about the culture? Yeah, mistakes are okay. In other words, he told his boss, essentially, his mistake. Doesn't that tell you so much about that culture, see? It speaks volumes. But maybe I could just write that off because that was an unusual person, see? Next morning, I call. In fact, that night, I call and I say, "What time do you open your swimming pool?" And they said, 6 o'clock. "But if you have a special need, we'd be happy to open it earlier. Just let us know and we'll have someone meet you." So I went downstairs and I had 3 presentations prepared for a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of an hour and a half each to this young president's organization on how to build a synergistic culture, you know, like the hotel we were in. So I told them about my experience at the earlier hotel and last night, and I said, "I'm going to bag my speeches. It's far better to see a sermon than to hear one any day," someone said. "So instead, I'm going to try to train you in a way of thinking about how to really diagnose this hotel and what produced this bone-deep commitment by the entire culture. I'm sure there are some mistakes, some exceptions, but the critical mass of it toward this ethic of uncompromising personalized service. And what I'm going to present is essentially what I gave to them, a way of thinking about, of diagnosing, and of identifying where the real problems are, see. So I did that day, and then I said, "Now, would you use this, and all of you, test this culture?" You know how you test a culture? Throw it a curveball. Just do anything that's outside of normal operating procedure. Really. If they deal with that problem as an opportunity to make deposits with the guest, that tells you about the culture. Particularly if you start finding that they have self-managing teams in the way they work together to solve that problem, so that there is a kind of cultural norm that drives that.